Well, good morning. It's very good to be here and speak to you. My laboratory has been involved in hemp seed science and technology research for the past 3 years, and it's actually part of a larger multidisciplinary project at Cornell. If you're interested in kind of the hemp area at Cornell, but even beyond, Larry Smart is one of the keynote speakers. We'll be speaking at 11:30 this morning on that topic. So we're going to focus on the seed treatment area. This has been brought up earlier. There'll be a lot of common threads that have already been brought up by some of the earlier speakers, and we'll just kind of continue on those. But when we get involved in regulations as far as getting materials to see the light of day, IR4 has been very helpful in that regards. They facilitate registration of agrochemicals as well as biopesticides for specialty crops. I approached them about a year ago with the industrial hemp. And remember, at that time, industrial hemp was lumped in, considered by DEA the same as recreational cannabis. So there's no agrochemicals labeled, herbicides, fungicides, seed treatments, anything. So I really had to kind of convince them that we could go ahead and work on this project for 2019. At the end of last year, the 2018 Farm Bill was passed, so now those are decoupled. So now we can move forward in a legal sort of a manner of looking at agrochemicals or biopesticides for hemp. Taking a step back, is I started the seed treatment program with IR4 back in 2005, where we're looking at particular crop pest combinations. Generally, it's a multi-state participation. So IR4 kind of is the coordinating body. My laboratory would do the seed treatment for those, interacting with the seed treatment industry, and then field efficacy either at Cornell or in other universities as well. This has been kind of brought out as just another diagram of somewhat the same as we look at biological products, the biofertilizers. As Tristan mentioned, this is their material falling into that area, biostimulants. My laboratory is active in this space, and we have two posters. Masi and John are here, and they have posters and some of the work that we've been doing, and then the biological control. So we'll kind of focus in on the biocontrol area and zoom in on a few materials that were selected in this IR4 project this year. We have a plant extracts example of that. Kind of broadly under minerals are phosphite materials, you know, phosphates as fertilizers, but phosphites are very effective and shown in other systems to be effective against pythium, and so we're quite interested in that. And then, as mentioned by other speakers, the Bacillus and Trichoderma species as microbials. So there's a laundry list here of 15 treatments. Color-coded those, and that'll help later on to kind of really digest this very quickly for you. The two in black, the non-treated one, we just coated the seeds with a red coloring to visualize. All the green treatments are the biologicals. The bioseed that Tristan talks about is one of the entries there. The red are the phosphate materials, and then Syngenta. Syngenta was the only of the big ag chemical companies with chemical fungicides to step up to be a part of this project. So we have their very traditional chemistries, Apron XL Maxim 4FS, which is labeled on many, many crops. We have a seed treater in our laboratory. We do a lot of seed treatment. I have the only, which is very common in industry, but in universities, I have the only land-grant university really involved in seed treatment and coating technology work. We work with a lot of cooperators at Cornell, both and outside of Cornell, for treating. So we can treat, say, 25-gram sample of hemp seed with this particular technology. This is, if you're not familiar, this is what hemp seeds look like. They're not a true seed. They're a keen, just like a sunflower. So you're looking at the pericarp. It's kind of a waxy structure. So a lot of our standard coating materials, they're treated, but it's not very pretty, not very uniform. So working with industry, we're not trying to rediscover the wheel at the university. We're really trying to take advantage and collaborate with industry that they're providing materials for us. So here we're seeing very good uniform distribution over the seed surface as well as from seed to seed. As there's some already talk about the impact of different binders, and we're also looked at this very briefly. Three different binders, Argosy from Lidochem, L650, which is an Incotec material, and Invigor, and we've already seen some slides on that earlier by ABM. So there we're looking at either the natural material, which is the trichoderma species, or Varnemo, which is a bacillus. And then we treat the seeds, send it back to the company, and let them do the CFUs. So on the natural material, since we had enough replicates, therefore reps, that we could actually do statistics, we do see that the binder, and again, earlier speakers brought this out, as this is an important component in applying these materials, which are applied at low levels to the seeds. We don't need a large encrustment or a pelleting to apply these. These are applied at low volumes, so we really just need an effective binder there. Same trend is for the Varnemo. We don't have enough to do the statistics on that, but the same trends that we're seeing there. So we're going with the InVigor for our subsequent work. We then go to the laboratory, and we're always concerned about potential phytotoxicity from treatments, but also can there be a promotional? This is just a roll tile test. The Prudent, remember, and this material is a fertilizer type of a material, so we are seeing an enhancement of shoot growth just in a roll tile under a fairly inert type of a medium. The Apron Max doing better than the control, again, just because it's controlling internal pathogens as well that can be present on the seed, so improvement in germination, root, and shoot growth. We work with the registrant. In this case, these materials are from Marone, and there with these materials, at the application rates they first suggested, their high loading rates, we're seeing a potential phytotoxicity there. So working with them, we kind of backed off the rates before we did any field trials later on. So then we got that to look much more like the control. So again, just kind of, we're dealing with a whole new crop of species here with this hemp. So we just need to kind of do the groundwork as far as making sure that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot. A lot of the screening that we've done is using a soil bioassay, trying to keep this as very kind of earthy as possible. Here we're using a field soil which is naturally infested with Pythium. Gary Bergstrom's our pathologist on our main campus, collaborated on this project. Gary's lab characterized the Pythium as Pythium ultimum in the soil. We then mixed this with the sand, so here we're looking over the roll tile. So it's very nice because we can see the roots and the shoots. So in the case of hemp are susceptible to post-emergence mortality. We can see at 4 days, and hemp seeds germinate very rapidly as well under ideal conditions. So they germinate rapidly, everything looks good. 7 days, we're seeing decline. By the 10 days in a roll tile, pretty much everything in a non-treated seed is dead. So we have a fairly stringent way of screening these materials. I don't have the time to go into this, but let's just kind of cut to the chase with some of the field work. Again, it's this multi-state participation. We had two trials at Cornell. I'll be showing you one of those. Virginia Tech field trials there in the southern region, and the north central region at Fargo at North Dakota State, trials going on there as well this year. So now we can see how the color coding is going to really help us sort this out. We're looking at stand counts after 21 days in the field, looking at percent stand, and those, the black, would be your control, so you can see where they fall at. The greens are the biological, so generally doing poor then. Phosphites are looking good, and then kind of as Peter said, is some of the chemicals are, they're pretty bulletproof materials, and they're doing quite well as in this regards. One other kind of, as we took this data over multiple counts on weekly, so we're comparing the 7 versus 21 day. So as I mentioned, we're looking at post-emergence mortality is critical. So where are we looking at either a loss of plant stand or an increase in plant stand over that 7 to 21 day period? So again, we're seeing the greens mostly falling out where we are seeing a slight decline, most of the blues and reds in the upper portion. So I want to thank people in my laboratories, Michael Massey, who's here at the conference, and again has a poster not in this area, but in the biostimulant area, and Hillary in my laboratory. Gary Bergstrom, as I said, is our cooperating plant pathologist, people in his lab. Burton Johnson is an agronomist, has worked in hemp for the last several years at Fargo, and John Fike is also an agronomist working at Virginia Tech. And IR4 for really me kind of getting them on board to help support this work. So thank you very much for your time.